today at the pulpit, bringing the word. So, Father, we just bring Harvey before you. I thank you for the preparation he's put into this. I thank you, Lord, that he is a man after your own heart. I thank you that his desire is to please you, and his desire is that your word would find fruitful spaces here in this church. So I ask that you'd speak through him, Lord. Spirit, rest with him and use him mightily today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Is that right? Oh, thank you. He wasn't famous, and yet look what impact he's had on the world. It's just staggering, and that we can now as individuals participate in that just blows me away. This is my first effort at teaching. I've been a farmer all my life, and I don't know how someone can farm without faith, because we are totally dependent on God. I knew Dudley when long before we came here, and it was lovely to get together with him the other day and realize that 30 or 40 years ago we lived together down in back there in the country. As a testimony, I'd like to relate an experience I had when in midwinter one year I went down to our supply dam, and the dam that supplied the domestic water to us was just about empty. And I got the fight of my life, because I realized that with the Alzheimer's home that Renee was running and my dairy, we needed decent water. And as I was walking away, I just felt the Lord say to me, well, I just had a sense that the Lord was saying to me, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And that's what happened. A few days later, we had a wonderful storm, half filled the dam and saw us through the winter. And I just realized then what an incredible privilege it was to be able to just trust the Lord to do that, because, you know, without water, we know what it's like. Cape Town is seeing that problem right now. I can assure you that some of the sections I will use in my teaching today will be perfect, but only those sections that come from the Bible. My purpose today is to talk of how we are needed in the body of Christ. The local church is best described as the family, perhaps even more aptly as the hospital. I want to relate today how important it is to be a caring body, where hurting people of Hilton can come for comforting. You know, we are fortunate here because we know the Lord and we know the peace of the Lord. But out there, you can imagine with the trials that we put up with, what about the folk out there that don't know the Lord? And we need to be ready to receive those people when they come to their senses. And it's only really that we have that relationship with Jesus that makes the difference, who in dying for us took all our shame on himself so that we can live. What a privilege. Like Tony challenged us a couple of weeks ago to start our day early with a quiet time. That is my experience. After chatting once with Angus Buchan, we were thinking of starting an organization calling ourselves Farmers for Jesus. And we were talking to him as dairy farmers in this instance. And we were saying that we get up early anyway to milk our cows. And Angus said, well, just get up earlier. And so that's sort of that's become my daily exercise. I was sitting at the granite in our house, which is now, I feel, represents for me God, my strength. And I looked up and saw a bowl of fruit on the table and on the granite there, and I thought, what a beautiful picture that was of the individual pieces of fruit, just like we are all individuals here, and how every bit of that fruit was edible and complementing each other. When you have a bowl of fruit and you eat it, all different flavors, but at the end of it, it's a wonderful experience. I'm using as my introduction the text in Romans 15:1-7. I've asked Renee to read it from the Message Bible, because that when we were looking at it from the various versions, that's the one that made most sense.
Romans 15. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step up and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to help look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, helping us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it.
Thanks, Angie. Yeah, that's so in line with what Tony was saying, and Heather also. You know, it's fear that keeps us back. But let us just put that behind us and enjoy what God has got in mind for us, because we know that He's got a great purpose for our lives. Rick Warren makes this point. There are only two ways to get into a family. You can either be born into it or be adopted into it. God does both for us. It is called being born again, and it's called being adopted into the family of God. In Roman law during New Testament times, you could not disown a child you birthed. But if you adopted a child, you were forbidden to ever disown that child. So God says that you are born into a family, but He has adopted you, and there's no way He could ever disown you. Isn't that good news? The Bible records in 1 Timothy 3:15, "I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. This church is not something you go to. Church is something we belong to. We are the family of God." Many people think Christianity is a belief system, but it is a belong system. We belong to the family of God. As children of God, we inherit nothing less than the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. These spiritual blessings are infinite, eternal, and reside in Christ. And by God's grace, we are given these blessings as His children. As earthly children, we ultimately inherit from our parents after their death, if there's anything to inherit. But in God's case, believers are already reaping the rewards of our inheritance by having peace with Him through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross, together with the gift of His indwelling Spirit, which allows us to live for Him in the present, and the knowledge that our salvation is secure for eternity. We all know the parable Jesus told in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. Hurting and alone, he regains his identity when he remembers that his destiny is tied to his father. He remembers his identity as a son, but then realizes his need for his family. He says to himself, "I'll return to my father's home." There's an important truth to be gained in this epiphany of returning to the father's home. In the father's home is everything you have ever needed. When the prodigal returns, we see a beautiful picture of God in the father, who has been waiting all this time for his son's return. The return of this displaced, nearly unrecognizable rebel doesn't cause a scandal. It causes a party. Though hoping to work only as a servant, he is welcomed as a child. "I want you to know you are welcome in this family just like the son was welcomed by his father." When you simply say, "Father, I need you today," you walk into his presence and you regain your identity and your destiny. We all understand what it is to be in a human family, each member unique and different. We listened to a CD with Rob and Pam a few weeks ago when we went down to Mzumbi with them, and the subject was living in community. And the preacher said the best way to understand living in community is to look at your siblings in your family. He made the point that you don't know anyone better than your siblings, because you will have wiped their noses and their bums. And if you think about it, you know, when we were here at the communion, you know, just seeing the families operating, children with the parents, cousins, whatever, it's just a beautiful picture of what the family is. And that's true. You don't know anyone better than your siblings, because you've done all those things with them. And that's where, as a church, we can get to as family. We as a church at Crossways are part of God's family, and we need to seek our giftings so as to serve our family to become a loving, caring family. Our text is Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. Pat's going to put it up for us there. There it is. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Here are some options of spiritual gifts. Listen here for areas where the Lord can use you in Crossways Church. One is teaching. It's the spiritual ability to understand and explain effectively the truths of the words of God, the Word of God. Like we've experienced lately where people have stepped up, like Doug, Pam, Ruth and Daniel. We also have Sunday school teaching, teaching team who perform the vital role of training up the kids in the family. Katie Hill and her team of teachers perform this wonderful task. Home groups are ideal environments for one to seek your gifting with loving members who can assist you to find and exercise your gift. So get into a fellowship group where you can give of yourself and learn from others. And Doozy teaches and pastors the other parts of our body at Tumbleweed and Mount Michael. Exhortation is the spiritual ability to effectively urge and encourage other believers with the Word of God to press on to greater obedience to Christ. Those with the gift of exhortation like to encourage others in their walk with Jesus. They enjoy coming alongside other believers and urging them to obey the Lord, serve the Lord, or serve the body. Exhorters get Christians moving. We've seen John O'May, James Francis, Grant Edkins operating in this gift. It's also an area that I enjoy operating in. They're also outreach orientated. They are very often concerned about the spiritual lives of those who do not know Christ and are often attracted to first-time visitors to make them feel welcome. We have families operating in this field, so if you feel this is your gift, get involved. Evangelism is the spiritual ability to effectively present the gospel in a clear and coherent way so that unbelievers accept Jesus as Savior. We all know about the story of Angus Buchan when in his first preaching experience in Ladysmith, he was at the town hall and he was praying down in the basement, and he would come up at, I think it was to start at 7 o'clock, at quarter to 7 he came up, there's nobody there except the band that were religiously playing away. At 10:02 he came up, still nothing. 5:02 he came up, still nothing. So he went back downstairs and he said, "Lord, if you don't send the people, I will preach to the chairs." And if you think of Angus's ministry, from that point to where 1.7 million people arrived in Bloemfontein, when he called the prayer meeting to pray for the country, is an amazing journey that he's been on. And we need people like that to get out there and minister to the lost. In our family here in Crossways, we have those who I'm sure will have the gift of evangelism, whose heart's cry is for the lost. I have a brother in Maritzburg who's had a tough life. He suffers from bipolar and lives on his own at Jan Richter. But he is committed to reaching the lost. He has a red scooter and a flag attached to it. You may have seen him in Maritzburg. He has a message, and a salvation message painted on it, and he rides around and hands out tracts whenever he gets the opportunity. I make a point of taking him out once a week, and I've watched him operating, giving out tracts, and some people just throw them in the rubbish bin, and others take them and read them. So, but it doesn't faze him; he just carries on. The other day I took him to visit a friend who had ended up in Edendale Hospital, and while I was trying to get in to see our friend, all he was doing was handing out tracts. I followed him one day when he was on his bike, and at the robot, you know, he stopped at the robot, and I was behind him, And I saw the cars on both sides, people looking up and reading his flag. And I was really encouraged by that. And when I told him about it, he didn't really, give him joy or faze him. He's just single-minded about wanting to spread the gospel. Fourth one is mercy. This is the spiritual ability to effectively comfort and or relieve the suffering believer through spiritual or physical means. They have a deep heart of compassion towards the suffering, which moves them to action to help relieve that suffering. I've seen folk in this family that are operating in this gift of showing mercy. Nobody more so than Rob Bircher. I mean, you know, Rob's heart is just so soft, and it's wonderful to be in his presence. Nelly at the Ndabazintle Clinic, and Pat Caldwell, who works in Mpopomeni, are all people that are showing mercy. And there are probably many others that I don't know about, but again, if this is what you're called to, get involved. Giving is the spiritual ability to give of one's finances sacrificially for the Lord's work, beyond one's monthly tithes. And, you know, Tony and Alana have been through that process too, and as Tony shared with us today, and when one does that faithfully, it is amazing how often the Lord just seems to supply those needs. As a farmer, often I used to think, well, I don't know what, you know, how are we going to meet that need, pay that account, and yet somehow it just happened, and it does just amaze one. How that happens, but that is the promise of Scripture. So we need to believe that and operate in that. And giving is a wonderful gift. The gift can be shared by giving money or goods, food, donating clothes, whatever meets the needs of the saints. It really is taking note when needs arise and asking God to show you when that need arises in a family where retrenchment has taken place, or major medical bills come up, then before the position becomes dire, the giver wants to help in that situation. This body of ours consists of many givers, because our monthly budget is always met, so we know that is the case. Bob Stavilliers makes the rusks for tea, and the money goes to Ndabazintle, for example. And we've taken the decision that rusks will now be made available for everybody, and I think that's just fruit of really what Bob's has done over all these years. Administration is the spiritual ability to effectively plan, organize, and direct a group of Christians to accomplish a particular ministry objective in a harmonious and orderly way. Steve Harper has been a great asset to us in guiding us through the Constitution. We've had to obviously alter the Constitution quite dramatically now that we're no longer members of the AOG, and that will be discussed at the AGM. And gratefully, we've had Steve there to take us through that. Pam also serves the church admirably by running all the affairs. And if we want to know anything about the church, we ask Pam, and she always has the answer. What a blessing. Seven is leadership. This is the spiritual ability to discern the spiritual needs of a group of Christians and lead them into fulfilling God's plan for them, which is a greater love for Christ, for one another, and the lost. This gift is crucial in the body of Christ, which is why this family needs elders and deacons who are trustworthy and diligent. We are blessed to have Doug, who is now become an elder, to join Pete and Doozy, and no doubt over time God will raise up other elders to help in this leadership role. We also have Heather and Trevor who play the vital role of leadership in worship, and you know, just again such a wonderful blessing to see Trevor here with his girls, new instruments, practicing with them and blessing us. Helps is the spiritual ability to effectively come to the aid of another believer to meet a personal, unexpected need. For example, needing a lift to the doctor or a young mother who needs help with meals. These Christians are the ones you can call on in a crisis. It is not that people without this gift can't help. It's just that those with this gift lack coming to the rescue. It's just on their heart to help, and those are the people that perform that role so well. Pete Muggleton has for years opened the church on Sundays and taken care of the maintenance needs. And he just does it without anybody knowing. We get here, everything's open and functioning. Pete's done the work ahead of us. The T families like Gary and Isabel, Merle, Bob's, Annie, who do lots of behind-the-scenes duties. I've also seen other folk helping, that's where we need to get to, where everybody is using their gift and helping to build the family. 9 is service. Service is the spiritual ability to effectively perform self-sacrificial actions and tasks to assist the family in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. People need to be ministered to and to minister to others in the church. That is what we're all about. Those with the gift of service make it possible in a wide variety of ways by assisting in ministry in whatever ways are needed. Like Simon and Mark on the sound desk and Pat, and more folk are needed there. It's a vital job, and we need more people to get involved. You've got that talent. When I was working with Pam, putting these things up on the screen, I was reminded of this. This was something I had to do in Crichton at our church there, and I had to go on the Saturday to prepare for the Sunday, because I knew that if I just got there on the Sunday, it would be a disaster. And it often was even on the Sunday, but so I'm not offering to do that job. People that have that service gift often stand in the gap for a need, as and when it arises, they fill it. Heather is another one who's operating in that gift. Me being new in the church, I'm not aware of what gifts folk have exercised in the past, but we are wanting to move forward in this whole area of everyone being involved and making this family at Crossways to be known for the way we serve each other. That's where we want to get to. And we must make sure that no one is left out or wounded. And if that happens, quickly help with restoration so that it doesn't become a wound that can't be healed. Pam took us through last week the different types of wounding, and we need to embrace that and make sure that if a wound is inflicted, immediately we get there to sort it out. I love the picture of geese who fly in the V formation. They all follow the leader. You obviously have seen geese that fly in that formation, and the amazing thing is that when the leader gets weary, it falls back and another one takes over, and the rest follow in the slipstream of the leader. And another thing that happens is if one is injured or tired, 2 geese will go down with it and protect it and allow time to recover. And if it does recover, then they'll fly back up and join the next group of geese that go past. And what an incredible example that is for us as Christians. You know, you need people to lead, but as they need help, somebody else can step in. And that's the process that we want to develop here. Just as in a human family we see talents arising in our kids, so in a spiritual family we need to help each other find our spiritual gift. It can be in one's natural talent, but this is not always the case. We need to take this challenge seriously in asking God to reveal the gift that is in every one of us. There is a gift in every believer, so nobody is excluded of a gift. And that in itself is wonderful. And it may be dormant, So it needs to be encouraged. We probably all know what the gift is, but we're either fearful, as Tony said, or we hold back on it. But we need to get that gift out, because and operate in that gift, because that's when the body will be blessed. And I think that we need the reason I believe that is that this body is going to be blessed. I remember James, when he ministered once, saying that it was exciting to think of what was going to happen with this body, and where we've got this the truth, we need to get it out there so that people that are suffering in the world, and we know they are, there must be, because times are tough, and they're going to be coming here and wanting to join this body, and we need to be functioning so that we can take them back in. I remember I shared a dream I had a few months back about golf balls being hit into the crowd. We did see that happening, but more important was that at the bottom of that golf bag were brand new golf balls that had never been used. And I believe that was representing folk who were going to come back into the body, that had decided that perhaps this wasn't for them. They were going to come back, but it also talks of new people coming here. And those people that come in the body, into this body, we need to welcome with open arms, and to be able to minister to them and love them. Being a part of the family of God is the greatest blessing bestowed upon believers, and no one should, and that should drive us to our knees in humble adoration. We can never do anything to deserve it, for his gift of love, mercy and grace to us. Yet we are called to be sons and daughters of the living God. May we all respond in faith to this invitation. I've got three questions that I picked up from Rick Warren, and he asked these questions. Have you got them there? Didn't I? Okay. One, what are the benefits of belonging to the family of God? So that's the first question that we need to ask ourselves. Two, what is the evidence in your life that you belong to the family of God? That's the second one. And third, how are you using your gift, or how do you plan to use your gift to bless your spiritual family? So those are three things that we need to think through. I want to close with a word from scripture that I read in my quiet time this morning, which makes this so true. It was in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 16, and it says, I am glad I can have complete confidence in you, Corinthian family. So we can paraphrase that and say, I am glad I can have complete confidence in you, Crossways family. So let's make that our prayer. And we're gonna sing and play another chorus now, which is an old one that we used to sing, and it talks into this whole situation. Brother, let me be your servant. So let's operate in that role in the family. Thanks.
Thanks, Harvey. Thanks for exhorting us to find our spiritual gifts and use them in this body. And it was really great. Thank you for your time and effort in that. So when I was praying about the service, this is the scripture that I got, and it ties in exactly with what you were saying. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, so that you, not lacking in any spiritual gift, so I'll repeat that, so that you, not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus, who will sustain you to the end, built us in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we thank Lord for the fact that none of us lack any spiritual gift, and he's calling us to use those in his service. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a loving God, that your purposes for us are good, that you give us good things. Thank you that you empower us with supernatural gifts, gifts to be a blessing to one another, gifts to be a blessing to the world. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that as we leave this place, that we would be a fragrance of Jesus to the people around, to those who are hurting and those who need you. Fill us, Lord, with the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.